We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Duarte pulls up, three ball, bang!
Bob L.J. Figueroa!
Oregon goes back to back for the fourth time in the last 6 years. The Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Foley three, goal! And Foley Bob!
Mikesell fires and hits a three.
Left wing, pow pow,
yeah, boom boom!
Welcome to Duck Insider.
What a weekend!
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Betcher hits it on the ground, towards short. Armstrong boots it, and Betcher is safe! Oregon sweeps the Beavs! Betcher puts it in play to the shortstop. Armstrong can't handle it. He beats out the throw. Hanoian scores. Oregon wins 5-4 in 11. Oh, you love to see it as we welcome you to Duck Insider on a Monday. The Ducks get the sweep of the Beavers, and Oregon baseball goes 5-1 against Oregon State this season. Congratulations, Mark Wasikowski's Ducks. You know, Thomas said this before we even got rolling on the show today, that I have never seen anybody so excited to be hit by pitch. So Tyler Gannis, Alex Simpson said it. He's like, to my new favorite player, Tyler Gannis, for just getting so excited to be hit by a pitch. And why not? Bases were loaded. He's a pinch hitter. He comes in, gets plunked, ties the game, and it leads to what you just heard with a local guy in Bryce Betcher putting it in play. Ducks, that was awesome. That was awesome. All right, we've got a full recap of what happened at PK Park because, well, the Ducks swept the Beavs. And I just want to throw this out there to start. In the series, in the season series, that is, Oregon outscored Oregon State 25-9 this year. Really, really good team in Corvallis. We know that. But Mark Wasikowski's Ducks are, they're flying up the poles right now, and they should be.
That was awesome. A great weekend at PK Park. We're going to tell you about that. We've got head coach Mario Cristobal from Oregon football practice on Saturday. That's coming up in just a moment. We also have Brian McClendon and Marcel Yates, a couple coaches for the Ducks, wide receivers and defensive backs, respectively. And Dane Altman talked to the media, forget this, 33 minutes on Friday. 33 minutes of a season recap with Dane Altman. We put together the greatest hits for you, and we'll have that for you on the show coming up. And Oregon softball the rest of the weekend in review. All right, Oregon baseball. For those of you who were tuning into the broadcast, thanks for doing so. I had a lot of fun. It was great to have the rivalry series at PK Park. And the Ducks started out well on Friday with a 4-1 win. And Robert Ahlstrom was masterful. This is the beginning of the theme of the weekend for you. Robert Ahlstrom was absolutely masterful. 7 innings pitched. He gave up just 5 hits, 1 run. He struck out 9. So good. Apart from one walk and a couple hit batters and wild pitches, he was in total command. He looked like the best player on the field. Looked like the best player on the field. And the run scored after a leadoff triple in the 8th on just what was a nice hit by Jake Melton, an Oregon product, by the way. He's from South Medford. Melton just hit it down the line and found his way to third base. Well, it was great to see Gabe Matthews homer in the 5th. Another Oregonian who made a big impact for the Ducks. Gabe Matthews hit a home run in the 5th on Friday, and the Beaver bullpen actually melted down a little bit. It wasn't the big hit that gave Oregon the win on Friday. In fact, it was patience. And Mark Waskowski said it on the Toyota Coaches Corner when I talked to him Saturday morning, that this was just discipline. You know, the Ducks took some really close pitches. It was a bases-loaded walk, a bases-loaded hit batter, and a bases-loaded walk that led to Oregon scoring 3 runs in the 8th to break it open, and the Ducks won 4-1. And I think in a lot of ways, they actually outlasted the Beavers. On Saturday, Ducks won the series with a 5-1 victory. Overall, just a solid day. Colin Kafka, actually, I didn't think was at his best when he was on the hill. But a really cool story today coming out about Colin Kafka on a baseball blog, that he actually changed his grip on his slider for this season because he was cooking and he burned his thumb. Next day he had a bullpen. He's like, man, I don't know. I got to change my grip. He changes his grip, and next thing you know, he's got like an extra 2 inches of spin and drop on his slider. Well, we're seeing the results of that. It's a pretty cool story for Colin Kafka. So he wasn't at his best, and it was a game that was filled with some oddities, actually. So it's the second inning, right? Gavin Grant, Northwest guy, got 2 RBIs on a single squeeze play. The Ducks pulled off a double squeeze. How many people have had 2 RBIs on one bunt in their life? I never have. You don't see it very often. I asked Waz. He actually called me after the game. And I asked Waz, and I said, so how often have you done that? He said, well, I've done it at Purdue. You know, you got to have things line up the right way. And the Ducks did. They had speed at second base and Sam Nowitzki, who broke right away. Late squeeze. Matthews is running. Grant lays it down. And the Beavs, even though Melton dropped the ball at first base as Grant beat it out, they wouldn't have gotten Nowitzki anyway. They weren't prepared for it. The double squeeze worked. The Ducks scored 2 runs, and it ended up being all they needed in that game because Oregon was really, really good. And the Ducks continued to play really great defense, apart from one moment in the 9th. Colby Summers, Oregon product, struck out 4 hitters in the 9th inning. How many times have you seen a pitcher strike out 4 hitters in an inning? Colby Summers did it. It was after a dropped third strike and then a dropped ball on the throw to first base. Gabe Matthews immediately said, oh, that one's on me. But in all seriousness, and Coach Waskowski even said this, I guess Scanlon threw from the catching position. He actually threw like a changeup down to first base, so Gabe dropped it. And speaking of Gabe Matthews, by the way, he is now 2 hits away from tying the all-time record for hits in an Oregon uniform. He's got 209, J.J. Altobelli sitting at 211, the all-time leader in hits in a career at Oregon. So those are just some of your oddities in a game that, again, Oregon didn't make mistakes. The Ducks won the series. Well, they won the series in Corvallis also, and they didn't get the sweep. They lost to the Beavs 3-1 after back-to-back shutouts in Corvallis about a month ago. So let's just say it was on Oregon's mind. Showing up to the ballpark on Sunday, you could tell there was an energy in the air that the Beavers needed to get something out of the weekend, but the Ducks really wanted the sweep. And they needed, frankly, a little bit of help to get it. Because Brett Walker was masterful through 6 1/3. But it was that last third inning that he pitched where he wasn't at his best. Beavers got to him for 3 7. He still went 6 2/3. I think you like that from your Sunday guy, you know. But the Beavers got to him a little bit. And the Ducks battled back as the Beaver bullpen was a little bit wild just like it was on Friday. The Ducks got three in the eighth inning, and it came with a bases-loaded hit batter, and Tyler Gannis, his celebration just, oh my God. God, it was great. Tyler is just so fired up to come off the bench and get hit by a pitch. You love to see that. Absolutely love to see it. So, to extras we go. Tied at four on Sunday. Ducks got it done with two outs in the 11th. After Tristan Inouye, and I want to say, so Jake Bohalland, who is one of the best closers, not just in the history of Oregon State baseball, but probably in the history of Pac-12 baseball. Jake Bohalland is the guy who's on the mound. He actually is the one that hit Gannis. He had Gannis in a two-strike count, and he hit him. Well, after that, Mulholland retired nine straight Ducks. They were just going to ride him until something happened for the Beavers offensively. And it almost did, because before the Ducks finally got to Mulholland, Beavers actually had a runner at third in the top half of the 11th inning. Ball from Decker Stedman gets to the backstop. Backup catcher Sam Olsen is in there. The Ducks had to empty the bench using guys in different situations. This is why I love baseball. Pitch goes to the backstop, bounces off the padding. What does Sam Olsen do? Turns, perfectly plays it. Stedman covers the plate. Olsen doesn't rush it. Underhand throw to Stedman. The Ducks get the out at the plate instead of the go-ahead run scoring for the Beavers. But then Mulholland responds by getting the first two guys pretty easily in the bottom half of the 11th, and I'm thinking, ah, man, we're going to 12. Nope. Tristan Inouye. What a great job by Tristan Inouye. Lays down a drag bunt. Gets on base. Ends the streak of retired batters against Mulholland and by Mulholland. Tanner Smith, with two strikes, singles over the shortstop. Doesn't try to do too much. Singles over the shortstop. Suddenly, the Ducks have runners at the corners. And Bryce Boettcher steps up, and you heard the highlight earlier. Bryce Boettcher doesn't waste any time. Swings at the first pitch. Hard hit ball to the shortstop. Armstrong can't handle it. Knocked it down. Booted it, however you want to describe it. I actually think I said booted it on the call, but that might have been a little unfair. That was a hard hit ball. I think he knocked it down, and then Boettcher, with his speed, was able to beat it out. And the Ducks won the series. So you heard me going through that a little bit. Well, I just want to read you what some of the Oregonians did this weekend, and not just, frankly, the Oregonians, but the Pacific Northwest guys did this weekend. So on Friday, Robert Alstrom's your starter. That's a Eugene native. Gabe Matthews out of Salem hits a home run. Has two ribbies. Colby Summers out of the Portland area, Hillsboro. He's the closer. Those are pretty important pieces to that Friday win. Saturday, three scoreless innings pitched from two different relievers out of the state of Oregon. Sunday, and by the way, on Saturday, that was important to keep the Beavers at bay. Sunday, Aaron Zavala and Gabe Matthews, those are the two leaders offensively. Both had two hits for the Ducks. They're both out of the Salem area. Sam Olsen, the catcher that made that great play that I just described, from Eugene. Game-saving play. The winning pitcher also involved in that game-saving play, Decker Stedman, went to Thurston High School, Springfield. And the pinch hitter, Bryce Boettcher from Eugene, who put the ball in play on the winning run, Eugene guy. And then I'll throw in Gavin Grant, Pacific Northwest guy. Love to see it. He's the one that laid down the double squeeze. Mark Wasikowski said heading into the third game of the series that he was the team leader in quality at bats by their metrics on the season, or on the weekend, I should say. That's just cool to see that in an in-state rivalry series. Absolutely loved it. Awesome to see. Ducks outscored the Beavers 25-9 in the season series. Ducks went 5-1 against the Beavs this year, including a sweep in the Pac-12 counting series that was this weekend at PK Park. And as a result, the Ducks are now tied for first in the Pac-12 standings heading into next weekend with Stanford. And Oregon has played some of the best teams in the conference. In the polls, by the way, Ducks are a top 15 team. And don't look now, but they're the top-ranked Pac-12 team in the D1 baseball poll, and it looks like Oregon's going to be at least consensus top 20, but this is a top 15 team that Mark Wasikowski has rolling right now. A lot of fun on the diamond. Coming into last weekend, Melissa Lombardi, softball squad number 3 in the country, and we're going to talk about that series against UCLA coming up. But what a job by the Ducks. And Jake Yovan just said, Jake, you're right on my wavelength. I was just about to say this. Kenyon's dad, of course. Ducks are number 4 in the RPI right now, if you look at Warren Nolan. I mean, I'm telling you, they've played some of the best teams in the conference already. This team's for real, guys. And as the weather gets nicer and we're allowed to have fans at PK Park and keep everybody safe and spaced out, yeah, this is a fun team. Because you know why? this team just competes. Like, I've said this before, that college baseball often comes down to the best teams are the ones that don't beat themselves, right? In college baseball, a lot of times, if you just play clean, the other team's going to make mistakes and you're going to win the game. I think that's true in college baseball, more so than at the professional level, and maybe even more so than in other sports. I think that in college baseball, if you throw strikes, you play good defense, you don't just swing and miss all the time, right? Like, you put the ball in play, you have a disciplined at bat. I think in college baseball, it often comes down to the team that doesn't beat itself is the one that's going to win. I thought this was very true this weekend. The Ducks didn't make a lot of mistakes. The Beavers did make mistakes. Their bullpen wasn't at its best a couple times, and the Ducks took advantage. That's what the best teams do. Don't look now, but this team's in the hunt for a Pac-12 championship about halfway through the season. We're going to hear from Mark Wasikowski, the Oregon baseball head coach, when we come back. Also, some updates from Mario Cristobal after Saturday's spring practice. We got a lot more to get to. It's a fun day to be a Duck on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hi, welcome to the Spicy Drive-In. May I take your order?
Can I get the spicy chicken sandwich, please?
The spicy chicken is an excellent choice, sir. And to drink?
Whatever's fine.
Oh, may I make a beverage pairing recommendation this evening?
Sure.
If we are feeling especially bold tonight, sir, I would recommend the Mountain Dew with that. It's bravely unrestrained with a very alive aroma that pairs wonderfully with your spicy chicken. It's followed by a hint of zesty citrus flavor.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm sure you already know this, sir, but remember to appreciate the nose first by giving the Mountain Dew a little swirl to relieve volatize it.
What?
To change the flavor compounds and activate your taste buds to get them fully primed for that chicken sandwich.
Ah, it's delicious.
Now you're getting the hang of it. The muscular flavor charge characteristics of Mountain Dew make for an absolutely epic mouthfeel when paired with spicy cuisine. It is quite on point, sir.
Dude, it's a perfect match. Like they were made for each other.
So true, so true.
When you want to make good food bolder and bold food better, do the Dew.
Duck Insider, your home for the latest news on Oregon athletics. This is the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Insider presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack inside the Country Financial Studio. I saw Thomas asking on YouTube. There is probably a full replay, I believe, on the Pac-12 app if you want to be able to tune back into Oregon baseball if you missed some of the action this weekend. And RPI, essentially a schedule metric that determines how good a team is based on strength of schedule and wins and losses. The Ducks currently sitting as one of the best teams in the country. But now, if you're Oregon baseball, you got to follow suit and keep this momentum going against Portland, 2 o'clock on Wednesday. I'll have the call at 1:45 on the pregame show for the Oregon Sports Network. We will not have a Duck Insider that day because I'll be up in Portland for baseball. But, look, keep in mind, Oregon lost to Portland 6-4 on Tuesday last week. Got to carry that momentum now moving forward. Mark Wasikowski had some good things to say postgame. Pretty darn happy head coach, huh?
Just proud of my team. It would have been an easy one for them to quit on because it just wasn't really going our way for a good chunk of the game. And especially after they got the 3 in the 7th, I mean, it was a pretty even game until the 7th, but just felt like it was kind of going to the dentist today. It just wasn't easy. Nothing was easy all day. They just fought back. They showed resiliency to get a 3 in the 8th, to win the way, you know, just with some toughness at the end of the game with the push bunt, the 2 strike hitting, and then to see the young kids. And again, let's go to the theme for me of the weekend was the power of the in-state player and the all the way down to Bryce Fetcher finishing the weekend off, smoking the ball, making a, you know, I guess they charged it an error because it was hit pretty close to the general positioning of the shortstop. But boy, he smoked that ball at the end of the game. He put a good swing on it, and it was a hard one to handle because of how hard he hit it. So just proud of the in-state guys. They got a chance to make a difference on the weekend, and I thought that was a critical piece of the puzzle.
You guys got to share first place now. I mean, I assume that's, you know, kind of where you want your program to be. But, you know, what does it mean, you know, at this point in the season to be right there in the thick of things already?
It means a lot. You know, you play to be in first place. And the people that say, well, it doesn't matter anything, it's not the end of the year. Well, there's the truth to that, but I'd rather be in first place than not in first place. I'd rather be ranked one than two or two and three. So the higher the ranking, the better. Be at the top of the league, great. I didn't know we were in first place. Yeah, I know it's early, but that's where our goals are at. We want to win. We want to win big. We want to win the league. That's one of our goals. We can't win the league this weekend. We knew that we could potentially win one game in a row three times. We were able to do that. We were able to sweep a very good team.
What can you say about guys that came off the bench and out of the bullpen today? Tristan, Isaac, Bryce, Decker, Hunter.
Yeah, what about Sam Olsen and the hustle play at the end of that ball game? The you know, the blocking that he did behind the dish when he got inserted to catch. For me, it was real simple. It didn't matter, and that was the message to Tyler Gannis. You know, standing in there having a clutch at bat, instead of jumping out of the way of the ball, getting hit by the pitch where we were able to score another run right there, and I believe that was a game-tying run. It just showed toughness and resiliency. It didn't matter who was coming in. Isaac got inserted into one of the toughest spots that we had. I mean, for God's sake, to have a second and third, nobody out situation, they didn't score. That's big. That's a freshman out there. Hunter Breaux goes out there for two innings. He's been a one-inning guy, goes out there for two innings, makes a critical PFP. We call it a pitcher's fielding practice play, but a PFP play on the guy hit the ball well right up the middle, and he snared it to end the inning. That would have scored two runs, and it didn't happen. You know, there were just one guy after the next, and that's what we said at the post-game huddle. Dylan at the end was, boy, it just didn't seem like it mattered who it was. It was going to be the next man who got a chance, and we were all pulling for the next man, and that was exciting to be in our dugout because nobody really cared who got credit for that victory. They just wanted to win.
How were all those pieces able to out-medal a team that came in here with the number one ERA in America?
I'm not sure how to answer the question. We work hard on teaching the middle game. And it did seem like our players didn't give in, and there's a lot to be said for the decisions that each player made to where that happened. You know, we believe in this program. It's a choice, and somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose in everything we do. The ability to compete is the number one thing. And so, no, it doesn't always work out your way. But talk about one-on-one competition and being mentally tough enough to understand that failing is a part of our game, and it's not about what you did to fail, but were you ready on each and every pitch of the game? And I just felt like our dugout, I felt like our players were continuously engaged. It's always going to go the right way, but I felt like they were continuously engaged in every pitch of the game. At the end, the game seemed like it was rewarding us for some of that to be in at every single pitch, because there were some breaks that we got. And then we made some breaks at the end. And I do agree with you, James, that the mental toughness was a critical piece of it today and this weekend.
Mental toughness is really important, and the Ducks certainly have a lot of that. Mark Wazkowski, the Oregon baseball head coach, recapping what was an awesome weekend for the Ducks as they sweep the Beavs and now get ready for their matchup with Portland at 2 o'clock on Wednesday, 1:45 pregame show on the Oregon Sports Network. We start with the Diamond Sports, so we're going to talk a little bit of softball coming up, but I want to get to some Oregon football because Mario Cristobal met with the media here on Saturday with some updates on that quarterback position. Yeah, we're going to talk about that coming up. We'll get a quick timeout, and then we'll hear from Mario Cristobal because, well, football is still pretty darn important, isn't it? We want to hear a little bit from the head coach after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
This is Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart savings strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you in the Country Financial Studio. Thanks for being with us. Today's show brought to you by Shadow Hills Country Club, your family resort, just minutes from home. Call for a tour today. Earlier this weekend. I guess it's not the weekend anymore. The days run together. You know, they just start to all run together. Mario Cristobal, though, he met with the media with a lot of updates for Oregon football as the Ducks continue spring practice, their first scrimmage coming up next Saturday. Mario Cristobal met with the media, though, after what was a lively practice inside Autzen Stadium this weekend.
Wrapping up a really an excellent week of work. You know, a full padded practice today inside of Autzen Stadium. Working multiple personnel groupings and situations. Heavy emphasis on block destruction, on third down football, high red zone football as well. Really just getting a lot of guys different opportunities, mixing and matching guys playing next to each other to work on communication. Threw some noise in there too. I think sometimes we forget these guys haven't played in front of a live audience in a long, long time. So it's never too early to start preparing for that again. But all in all, very pleased with today and the energy from start to finish. Finish strong, knowing that you know, we got to rest up this weekend, eat well, take care of some academics, and get ready to come back Tuesday and have a great Tuesday practice.
Mario, we didn't get as much into the super seniors yet and just wanted your perspective of what it means to have Johnny Johnson back for another year and what he still brings to the room and what he needs to work on.
Well, I think you said it great. You just can't emphasize it enough how Johnny and Red in that wide receiver room, what they bring to the table. And not only from a ability standpoint, playmaking standpoint, but from a cultural standpoint, from a setting the bar high for preparation for how we do things. Guys that, they're as competitive as can be, and right now they're playing and competing as if they are freshmen trying to earn a role on the team. When your older players do that, when your best and most experienced players do that, it sets a tone for everybody else, and that's what Johnny has been doing. That's what Jalen Redd has been doing.
But you had a record number of early enrollees this camp, and I'm sure their heads are spinning at this point, but are any of them standing out to you and kind of like, wow, they're catching your eye here in practice?
Yeah, well, I hope we break that record every year, AJ. Quite honestly, it is it's an incredible blessing. And because think about this, besides the fact that they get used to the academic regimen that comes with being a student athlete at this level, you get guys that go through the winter program, a strength and conditioning program, the fourth quarter program, and then you go full throttle into spring ball. So your installs, actually getting reps, live reps, in full pads with the rest of their teammates is an incredible advantage. But I don't know where to start. It's more of who hasn't made an impression so far, and that's being about as dead honest as I possibly can be. They have all gotten opportunities to work in significant amount of situational football. They have all been called on to make plays. They've made plays. They have made mistakes as well. This is as talented as a young group of players as I have ever been around. I guess that's the best way to summarize that.
Tight end is a position where DJ's back with some starting experience, but then everyone else behind him doesn't have much. And Spencer played a little bit of 19 for you. Mm-hmm. Like, it truly feels open for anybody. What's that competition like, and just the potential that group has between now and off season and fall camp?
Enormous potential. And the excitement around that group is extremely high. And you're looking at body types that we've been searching to get here for a while now. You know, guys that are 6'4 to 6'6, guys ranging from 242 to 269, guys that could run, jump, catch, block. They know how to throw around their bodies and create leverage in the running game. They can also create mismatches in the passing game. And all these guys have really reliable hands. And these guys can run, and they just went through an offseason that's made them even more physically capable of impacting the game, the vertical passing game, the intermediate game, the screen game, blocking, you know, staying in protections as well as in the run game. So that group right there, and, you know, those body types are extremely critical to your special teams play as well. Those guys are setting, as simple as setting your edges and your ends in your field goal, protection team, as well as your punt teams, your cover teams, your kickoff return teams. These guys are extremely valuable, and we're really happy and glad to have them.
Mario, since you've been the head coach here, you've had your fair share of hires to make. When we were talking to Marcel just now, he told us that, you know, you said, hey, come win a national championship with me. You know, when you're having these conversations with, you know, potential future coaches, you know, what's that atmosphere like? What are you selling them on?
That we work really, really, really hard, and that this is not for everybody, that there is a vision for our football program, and it's a we thing here. There's no, you know, I think, you know, my upbringing and my past, I come from a very humble, you know, grind work type of household. So that we do things that way here, but we do it a certain way, and it's going to require every ounce of what you have. And if you're willing to do that, the payback at the end of this thing is so rewarding. And it comes in so many ways, from working with some of the best athletes, student athletes in the entire country, to playing in monster games on the big stage under the bright lights, and then playing for championships, developing as a coach, because you're going to be around other head coaches that have been in championship programs that have great experience, that you're going to be challenged, you know, and that you're going to be able to coach. You're going to be the head coach of your position, and you're going to be groomed and developed to continue to elevate not only within this program, but within the industry. That's our promise to coaches that come here. And in the past 3 years, I wish I had in front of me the amount of coaches, analysts, graduate assistants, coordinators that have been able to, you know, gain that next step in their career in other places and here. So, but the conversations are pretty long. We take a deep dive into what it's like, you know, and how we do things, because I'll be the first to say, and I'm very open and honest, this is not for everybody. This is not, our place is not for guys that like to wake up late or like to leave early, that like to cut corners. That's not what we do. We go full throttle, and we are on 24/7. So, and we love it. You know, it's a way of life. It's not a job.
Mario, with the extra year of eligibility, sometimes you have to do a double take when you look at the roster. For example, Verone is technically a sophomore, but he's a guy that, you know, enrolled in January 18. He's been with you basically the whole time. Can you speak to what his potential is this year with all that experience and what we've seen so far from him?
Well, the first thing is, Ryan, if that's okay with you, I'm going to have you in charge of figuring out who's what year, because I don't know yet. Okay. That's coming way down the line, I guess. The second part is Verone is a tremendous blessing to all of us here, and to those guys around him in the locker room. You know, Verone came in as a corner and just worked and grinded in a room that was stacked with a lot of talent. And all he did was work and just kept pushing. And all of a sudden it started clicking, and he started making plays, and people started noticing that. And all he did after that was work harder. And the respect of him by other players for him is extremely high. He is a leader on this football team, comes from an incredibly awesome family, a guy that we are relying on for leadership, to make plays, to continue to elevate the standard around here. So he means a lot to this program. I mean, he means a whole lot to this program. And one of the best things about Verone is he enjoys being pushed and challenged. And another case of when your best players enjoy that aspect, understand that aspect, and can grab it and attack it, got a chance to be really good. He helps us and provides that chance for us.
Mario, to go back to special teams for a moment, you talked about working on coverage units this offseason. How much live reps will be going on even today or going forward the rest of the spring? And are there any tweaks to the coaching assignments just in terms of bringing in other voices potentially for other units and personnel-wise, just bringing more starters onto the coverage units?
Yeah, I think personnel-wise, there's a tremendous upgrade because, number one, you're healthier and then you've got more bodies in the building. But it has to be, you know, everything has to be upgraded from the way that we performed. And it's happening. We feel it in a couple of different ways. Number one is we're making certain position coaches head up and be, like the head coach of that particular phase, along with Coach Bobby Williams, who is, you know, over the years has done some really, really good stuff, been a great football coach. But we all know that we got to improve, and it's not on one person and it's not on one particular player. It's on all of us as coaches, starting with me. So to do that, we're putting, for example, Ken Wilson, along with Bobby, is going to be the heavy voice when it comes to kickoff coverage, you know. Why? He's a linebacker coach, he's a defensive coach, been a defensive coordinator, great football mind. And now, you know, the way that we attack things, the way that we teach tackling could be further echoed in the way that we cover kickoffs. But all the coaches are involved in every single phase now, as well as our analysts. We've certainly done some professional development in the offseason regarding technique, regarding our scheme. Getting into it would probably be a pretty lengthy discussion, but certainly we've invested heavily this offseason.
You're a third of the way through camp, already one more practice than you had last year. Where, I guess next week, what's kind of the agenda for you? What do you want to accomplish in this next third of spring ball?
No, it's hard to believe, right? Five practices this year as compared to four. Man, I mean, number one, we feel tremendously blessed. Number two, going into next week, we still got to cover situations to be able to fully scrimmage next Saturday. So 4 minute, 2 minute, 2 minute before the half, 2 minute end of the game. We got to go down to the low red as well, short yardage and goal line. When we get to those phases, then we'll start doing some of the other more unique stuff, the backed up stuff as well. And we'll head into Saturday and we'll scrimmage. We'll have a pretty lengthy scrimmage, full tackle, whatnot. But we want to keep developing guys and put guys in situations that demand their very best to make a play and find out who we can, you know, count on to do that. And the guys that aren't ready yet, what we need to do to develop those guys. So we're in football 101 and advancing, trying to get to, I forget the levels, man. It's been a little while, man. I apologize if our college courses, but I would say that from an install standpoint, Matt, I'd say we're 4 to 5 practices away from being fully installed, and we'd like to use the last 4 or 5 practices to revisit all those install sessions and put it all together again before the spring game.
Coach, last time we talked, you said you're running Anthony Brown with the ones and then kind of rotating the other quarterbacks with the other units, but that you might make some adjustments after Saturday, you said. Where's that at now, and how are you doing that practice rotation?
Okay, the twos have still been sharing. When I say the twos, I lump all the other guys in there with the twos. Anthony has taken the bulk of the reps with the ones. In fact, he's taken all the reps with the ones. The twos and that are sharing the twos and threes, it's really heating up, and they're making plays. And at some point in time, I don't know what the timeline is, there's going to be separation there. There is. But they're all getting after it. I mean, they really are. And they've made plays. They've had their share of good plays, and they've had their share of mistakes, just like we've had with the ones. But all in all, as a quarterback room, being able to have these guys here and coach them in this system now consistently and going to practice five, it's markedly improved in terms of the way that we operate, the way that we execute, understanding the offense and what we're trying to do in our RPO game, our play action stuff, our screen game, our drop back. The run game itself, certainly those guys with all that experience has helped not only in the run game, but protecting our quarterbacks and handling all these exotic pressures that Coach DeRuiter is bringing. So all in all, very pleased with the progress in that room. Trying to get quarterback, you know, pecking order information out of me is like Fort Knox type stuff, brother. So I'll hang on to that for a little bit longer and, you know, try to feed it out as it gets a little bit more clear.
Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach. He's always good for like one good chuckle toward the end of an interview, isn't he? Yeah, the Ducks are going to scrimmage for the first time of the spring coming up on Saturday. Looking forward to it. Some updates from that, I'm sure, coming throughout the week. We also heard from Brian McClendon, the Oregon wide receivers coach, and Marcel Yates, the new DB coach. We got so many interviews and so much stuff to get to today. I'm not sure that we'll get to them from the weekend today, but we'll do our best. But I do want to dedicate time next segment to Dana Altman, as he talked to the media for quite a while, recapping the season and what the offseason could look like for Oregon men's basketball. We're going to do that when we come back. Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union, returns to the Country Financial Studio next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics, because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Dear Freedom, Toyota hybrids say, let's go faster and further with 10 hybrid models to choose from and tons of top tech. The best part? Every Toyota hybrid offers an extended hybrid battery warranty for 10 years or 150,000 miles. So let's go places, Toyota hybrids.
For Toyota hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and fuel cell and battery electric vehicles beginning with model year 2020, the hybrid HV battery is covered for 10 years from original date of first use or 150,000 miles, whichever comes first. Coverage is subject to terms and conditions of your new vehicle limited warranty. See owner's warranty and maintenance guide for details.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield IMG College.
Hey, everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they could be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday Fundays left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
To be a Duck, as we welcome you back inside the Country Financial Studio, Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Hoodoo. You can always check out Hoodoo.com for webcams, road cams, the latest conditions. See you at Hoodoo. Go Ducks. Dane Altman, he talked to the media for, what was it, Scott, 33 minutes? Wow, 33 minutes on Friday. We went through and found you the greatest hits of what Dane Altman had to say heading into this offseason. Looking back on what I will say, a Sweet 16 appearance was still a great year for the Ducks. But what the roster looks like next year? Well, frankly, there's some questions. Dane Altman talked about some of those questions as he met with the media to wrap up the season on Friday.
In terms of personnel, obviously Eugene and Chris making it clear they're moving on, but what have LJ and Amari indicated in terms of what their plans are for next season?
Well, I think Amari will, be moving on.
LJ's taking classes now, and which is an encouraging side, you know, for him to complete his degree. But he hasn't made any decisions, and we'll give him plenty of time, you know. But it is very encouraging that he's doing a good job in school here the first 2 weeks of classes. We just started another quarter 2 weeks ago, so he's off to a good start there.
How do you think the Pac-12's success in this tournament could potentially impact the conference this upcoming season?
Well, I'm not sure how it'll, you know, affect the upcoming season. You know, we've had a very good run here of NBA talent. The last few years, our numbers in the draft have been outstanding. We had a down year in 18 in the tournament. 19 was a little better. I thought last year would have been pretty good. I thought we had a lot of teams that would have qualified. And then this year, we won some of those close games and advanced, and, you know, we had a very good year. So, you know, I hope that it will give us a little more credibility nationally.
The activity in the portal is always going up, it seems like. Where do you, looking at your roster, of what do you need to add?
Well, we lose a lot of scoring with Chris. We lose a lot of scoring with Eugene and his physicality. We're excited about Big Frank, and, you know, Dante is working very hard at his rehab. Nate Biddle and Isaac Johnson, you know, give us a little size, but they're freshmen and they'll take some time to adjust. Isaac coming off his mission and Nate needs to get a little stronger, but he is long. And those guys will be ready to give us some minutes. Eric and Will, I'm sure they'll do some investigating to see what their options are with pro opportunities. And, you know, that's fine. We talked about LJ, he's going to look at opportunities, which we expect.
Specifically, what do you want to see from Frank this offseason? What do you want him focusing on as he prepares for next year? And also, what's the timetable for Dante's return?
Well, for Dante's return, that varies anywhere from usually 9 months to a year, depending on the individual. And so, we're going to be very cautious with Dante. And, so again, he had that surgery first week of January. So a full year would be, a conference season, getting ready in January. So it could be anywhere, November, December, would be probably my best guess of when he might be back and ready. And a lot of it will depend on his aggressiveness in his rehab. But he's done a great job so far. Your first question, Big Frank, I just want him to work on everything. He's, he gave us such a big boost, and that's, joining us at Christmas and then going through a COVID, he didn't get much work. And, I wanted to bring him along slowly, talking to his people, back east. I didn't want to put him in a situation where, he wasn't successful, and I was too conservative. I should have thrown him out there a lot more. But he's a wonderful young man, and I really look forward to continuing to work with him.
Dana, the staff's been just a model of stability for 7+ years, and you have an opening for the first time in a long time. Thrilled as you are for Tony. How expansive a net do you cast? Because just in terms of, like, prior connections, do you go back to a Kenya or Brian, or do you start ringing up guys that just hadn't worked with you before? It's been a long time kind of thing.
Well, first of all, I'm going to miss Tony professionally, personally. You spend 11 years with the guy, and I'm not sure there's ever been 2 or 3 days have gone by without us not at least talking on the phone. I'm not going to try to hide it. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him professionally, like I said, his work ethic and everything he's meant to our program. He was great. He was great to work with, and did a great job for our school. And I know he'll do a great job at DePaul.
Dan, when you were talking about all that size, how many of those guys do you think next year you can get on the floor at once?
Well, I think, with a big zone defensively, we could play three. Isaac and Nate can both shoot the three, and if they're both shooting well and we could spread the floor offensively, you've got to have, at least three three-point shooters on the floor to spread it. You can play a power game with two inside guys. And so we could put Dante and Frank out there together, and if we're going to play Isaac and Nate together, probably be a little easier because both those guys can shoot it. But I don't know about their ability to pass and handle it on the perimeter. Those are things that we'll have to see at a college level.
How important is just a normal offseason going to be for you guys this time around? Last year, you couldn't really work out with your guys, and just overall skill development could maybe be accelerated than it was last year.
Well, Matt, I hope we have a normal offseason here. I'm hoping for that. And if we do, I look forward to it. I like practice. I like workouts and just getting the guys and individuals here in the spring, and a lot of individuals in the summer, and maybe some team practices in the summer, but mostly individuals. And then more importantly, getting them with Evan. Evan's, we hired him from the Sacramento Kings because we thought he was really good, and he is really good. He helped Peyton Pritchard get into the first round with all the work that he did with Peyton. He helped Chris Duarte get in the first round, and I think Chris will be a first-round draft choice. The guys that have locked in with Evan and really got after it have made tremendous progress, and I think that's where not only the individual workouts, Matt, but, just getting in with Evan every day, and, we've got a long period here before the guys go home for a few weeks after the quarter's over in June, and then we'll be back for summer school. And, those guys who are all in with Evan will make big steps. And so, I thought that was probably the biggest area that we didn't make, because a lot of guys went home and they knew what we do individual drill wise and worked out, but they didn't pursue the weights, we had guys that just didn't change their bodies at all. And I think if guys will really lock in with Evan, that can happen. And then the individual skill work, is so important. And guys like that. They like working on their game individually, So, some of the practices they don't get excited about because we're doing defensive drills all day and rebounding drills and, diving on loose balls. Those things are never fun. But the individual skill work they kind of get into. So I think they're really looking forward to that. But I just hope we have a number of guys go all in with Evan, because I think Evan's really good. We've had really good weightlifting coaches here, but Evan's as good as any of them, and he does a great job. So that's what I'm really excited about this spring and this summer, and getting some of our guys with Evan.
I love Coach Altman talking about that. Adam Linens, who's now in the NBA, has been a great addition for the Ducks. He was, and I got a chance to work with him a little bit, and Evan is amazing. As a strength coach, I could just tell you right now, he gets it. And I really, really love that Coach Altman brought that up, though. That's why the offseason's so important, and we're going to find out how important the offseason, I think, really is now heading into next year. Ducks didn't have a traditional offseason like a lot of teams around the country. How much different are things now this time around heading toward next season, which can't get here soon enough? But it is going to be a bit of a bumpy offseason. Ducks looking to replace Tony Stubblefield. And again, congrats to him for being named the head coach at DePaul. And also, what's the roster going to look like? Ducks are trying to piece that together, and we'll keep you updated here on Duck Insider. Coming up, Oregon softball against UCLA. We'll talk about that and the rest of what happened in Oregon athletics over the weekend, as well as a preview of what we're going to do tomorrow on the show on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel!
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy. And you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're live in the Country Financial Studio as the Ducks had a lot going on this weekend. Talked about Oregon baseball, Oregon football, Oregon basketball. Now your Cafe Yum two-minute drill. We'll begin with Oregon softball. Friday was a good night for Oregon softball. Number two, Bruins in town to take on the number three Ducks. Allie Bunker homered as part of a three-hit day. Brooke Yanez tossed a two-hit shutout. And the Ducks, they won. It was 3-0. And I think winning that game, the Ducks show that they're in that level of competition with a team like UCLA and Rachel Garcia. But now Saturday, a 3-0 loss for Oregon in the Pac-12 counting game, so that even the series. Then the Bruins didn't go the Ducks' way, as it was 9-3 in Game 2 in the non-conference game on Saturday. But Sunday, a new day. And Oregon got out to a really good start. Ducks were leading 2-0, but the Bruins scored in each of the final three frames to ultimately win the series with a 6-2 decision on Sunday. So Ducks, though, are still sitting in the top 10 in the RPI and the adjusted RPI for Oregon softball. So this upcoming series against Washington, that's a big one. It's a big one for Melissa Lombardi's team. We're going to talk with her on the show coming up tomorrow. Women's soccer, Washington scored in overtime to defeat Oregon 1-0 Friday. After 105 scoreless minutes, Huskies scored on a corner kick in the 106th minute. It was no fun. But on Sunday, it was another double overtime matchup, the fifth double OT match of the season for Oregon soccer. Leah Freeman actually had to tough it out at the end, injured her leg, and what a job by the Duck goalkeeper to play through it at the end of the matchup there. Ducks are now 5-5-5 with one regular season game left. It's against the Beavs on Friday. I think a win might put them in the postseason. Graham Abel's office is across from ours. Got to be careful. I don't know if he's over there right now picking stuff up. But, yeah, Oregon soccer, though, man, the season down the stretch here, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Women's tennis dropped one on Friday, but the Ducks bounced back. And, they had a pretty nice win on Sunday. Ducks finished regular season 12-7 overall and 5-5 in Pac-12 play, and they've got 2 weeks to prepare for the Pac-12 championships. Women's lacrosse, a pair of one-goal wins this weekend. They beat Cal 9-8 on Friday. They beat Fresno State 13-12. They host UC Davis this upcoming weekend to finish up the regular season for Oregon lacrosse. Acrobatics and tumbling posted its best team and overall scores of the season on Saturday, but fell at number three, Baylor. And it was not close, actually. 287.43 to 283.885. Oregon now 2-2. They get ready to go back to Waco for the national championships in April. And good luck to men's golf today. They're starting the Western Intercollegiate. You can catch it on Golf Channel. That's right. 4 to 7 p.m. Monday and Tuesday 1 to 4 p.m. on Wednesday. I'm looking forward to that. Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drills, we wrap things up. Menus at CafeYum.com. A lot going on today. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow. Got something fun for you.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Tweens have mastered the art of tuning out. Jen, there's a spider in the car. We're turning your room into a home gym. See? Nothing. But some messages need to get through, like making sure they're buckled up the whole ride, every time. Do whatever it takes to make your child listen. Jen, I friended your boyfriend.
Wait, what?
Buckle up, sweetie.
Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. Go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.